In less than 2 weeks, the graduates of 2021 will, in one way or another, say farewell to this campus. And the rest of the students, along with the graduates, would be saying goodbye to friends and classmates, which could be a sad thing, I suppose. Sometimes we say goodbye and it's no big deal because we're going to see that person in a day or two, maybe next week sometime. Other times, though, it could be months, a year or more, a lengthy time of separation. I wonder, did Jesus say goodbye to the disciples on that day when he went back to his heavenly home? I can't find the words in the Bible, not in the way we think of them. We can find in Acts 1 definite instructions he gave them to do. He gave them a blessing in Luke 24. And he also said to them and to us in Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." If there is a goodbye separation between Jesus and the disciples, it's strictly in this visual interaction that had been going on. That's going to stop. But there will not be a spiritual separation. No way. There could never be eternal separation between Christ and his people. Let's keep that in mind as we hear from Jesus on the topic of his ascension and what it means for us, reading selected verses, John 14 and John 16. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So it's a good thing that Jesus went back to his heavenly glory. It's good for us because it has to mean mission accomplished, total success for the gospel, the Lord's victory extended to his people. Even as he said in John 14, he has made room for us in heaven, which maybe sounds strange to say, and we should really think this through. How did this happen? Well, heaven was a shut place, an insurmountable obstacle in the way. And he removed that by taking away all of our sins. He paid the expensive price of our own admission into heavenly glory. Also, his return to heaven is directly linked to his coming back for us. The first event in the past is a guarantee of the second event in the future. Ascension Day, Judgment Day. In the meantime, he has authority to keep his promise, sending the Holy Spirit to you and me as a constant helper in our journey toward him, guiding, causing us to repent, enlightening, providing all the help that we need from God's Word. Even though we did not have the same in-person experience with Jesus as the disciples did, we lack nothing. Quite the opposite. With Christ at the right hand of the Father, we have a very powerful ally and friend in a very high place, pulling incredible strings for us. This is what the Apostle Paul writes about in his treatment of the ascension. We turn next to his words, the inspired words of the ascended Christ, about him in Ephesians 1 and also chapter 4. And that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he, the Father, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. From his heavenly throne, Jesus, King of all creation and Lord of his church, controls all things, including his enemies, for the benefit of his church, which includes you and me. Day after day, he uses unlimited power and resources under his control to protect, provide, and preserve, to empower you and me to be what he has sent us out to be, his witnesses in this world, while not being of this world. From his heavenly headquarters, he dispatches his word to us in the written form of the apus of what the apostles did, the New Testament, as well as through pastors and teachers down through the ages. He has provided us these things so that we are held together by him. We are attached to him with the same certainty as a body attached to its head. Much more could be said, and we anticipate that it will when we celebrate our Lord's ascension in 2 days. Yes, a celebration, not a tearful goodbye. Something which the disciples seem to understand when we hear about them in Luke 24. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Let's join them now in expressing the same joy, singing hymn 214, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Stanzas 3, 4, and 5 of hymn 214.